So we'll open up the scriptures now. We'll open up to 1 John chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, so I'm starting with this scripture, of course, because the title of this talk is Overcome. And it's important. We often say that Jesus is coming back for the overcomers. And this passage here, it says here that even our faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So we live in the world, right? We live in the world and the world drags us down. The world's opposite to us. You know, it's opposite to spiritual things. And it's through our faith that we overcome the world. And those that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe that, you know, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then going backwards through the passage, you know, we love him, so we keep his commandments, which were said. But also verse 1, it says, and everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. So Jesus Christ was born of God, so he was the one that was begatted. And so we love Jesus Christ because he is that person that's begat. And the flow-on effect from that is also we love also other people that are begotten of him, so the other saints. And then that's all part of the package of overcoming by loving the brethren. It's part of it, you know, that it's a commandment of the Lord to love the brothers and sisters. And also that's, you know, how we get the victory. We get the victory through faith. Through faith, we love the brothers and sisters. They're filled with the Spirit. They're perfect in God's eyes. They have that cloak of righteousness. We put things into perspective properly, and there's that faith, and then we can overcome the world. So we'll go through some passages about overcome. So we'll go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Just little passage here. It's John the Baptist speaking. So it's a little bit of an odd place to start. But the point I'm making is, we have to overcome regardless of what seems better. So here, Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 11, and it's John the Baptist here speaking, and he says to the people that are watching, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge its floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So a very important place in history. It's when Jesus Christ was baptized. And we can read, it was prophesied that John the Baptist had to go before him and prepare the way. And it was important. It's part of God's plan. If you can imagine thousands of generations, well, maybe not thousands, a bit less than that, hundreds of generations before this, they were living under the law. They were used to the law, and they were used to all the sacrifices and ordinances and all that sort of stuff. And so John the Baptist was sent to go before the Son of God to prepare the way, to preach to people about a new way, about baptism, you know, baptism in water, and how that's a pathway to righteousness. And he's preaching here and he's saying, look, I baptize with water, but the person who comes after me, he's greater than me. You know, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then this, so he understood his position. He understood his role. He understood why he was chosen and what he was up to. And then, of course, he makes the right, he mentions the right thing. It's like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming to John to be baptized. And John says, look, man, you're the Son of God. You know, like I should be baptized of you. But Jesus said, look, you've got to do it. Just suffer it to be so. You know, just do it. It's a commandment of God because it fulfills righteousness. Okay? And so he did. And then, of course, from there, Jesus came out of the water and God spoke to him and said, look, this is my dearly beloved son. And from there, his ministry started for 3.5 years. And so it was an important point. But the reason I'm reading this and it leads into the next scripture is the baptism of John was unto repentance, as it says. But the full baptism of John was actually to be baptized according to the person that follows after him, and that's Jesus Christ, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So from here, we've got 3.5 years of preaching from Jesus Christ. He's teaching people who don't know anything about the kingdom of God. You know, they've got the Old Testament. I suppose they could glean some idea from that. And he's preaching to these people. And a very poignant part was, I've been thinking about it lately, he was grieved in his spirit because he looked around him because these people had no shepherd, right? And so he was there giving them guidance and teaching them these things and being a shepherd unto these people. For that period, he was presented before 3 kangaroo courts and sentenced to death, whipping and so forth. He died for 40 days after that. He rose again 3 days later. 40 days after that, he's wandering about showing himself, proving to people that he's alive. He was even eating food. He was slipping through, like appearing in rooms that were locked. And so these things, amazing. And like so through that time, there were thousands of people who listened to him speak. He showed himself to upward 500 people. We read that elsewhere. There's all these people that have been impacted. And then, of course, come to the day of Pentecost, there was about 120 people there. They're praying in the Spirit. And they're praying for the Spirit, and they received it, spoke in tongues. And then after that, 3,000 people were baptized, received the Spirit. And then the word just spread through Jerusalem, and then there was that persecution that scattered all over the place. And it just grew and grew and grew. So there's so much happening in these years. And then if we go to Acts chapter 19, so I've kind of given a bit of a summary from the passage we read in Matthew chapter 3, through to Acts chapter 19. And so all this amazing stuff, there are miracle, great miracles that are happening. We know of in Acts chapter 3, there were John and Peter were wandering about and they saw someone healed who was lame from birth, you know. And these miracles that Jesus did were happening. And the apostles and the disciples were presented before the court. They were whipped and beaten. They were imprisoned. The Lord performed amazing miracles. And it just kept going and just growing and growing. And it would have been amazing joy. The promises are coming to fruition. And then we get to this point, Acts chapter 19, and we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So I'm hoping you get the point I'm making here. It's back in chapter 3 of Matthew. John made it very clear what baptism was all about. You know, yes, it was unto repentance, as Paul says here, but you've got to believe on him that comes after me. That's Jesus Christ. That's where you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And over time, over however many years it was, and it wasn't very many, probably a couple of decades, over time it was watered down. So that by the time the gospel had reached Ephesus, and there were this small group of people there who were baptized unto John's baptism, they'd forgotten about the next bit. You know, they weren't told about baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They were told about baptism by full immersion and repentance, but not the last bit, the important bit, that you must believe on him that comes after me. And so that's when Paul came along and he explained it. And he said, look, you've got to believe on Christ Jesus. And so they were baptized with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, they received the Holy Ghost and with fire, you know, and spoke in tongues and prophesied. So this little passage of scriptures is titled Overcome, okay? And so we live our lives as people have always lived their lives, you know? And we were told about the gospel message at the start, early on in our life, and we're living our lives, and let us not be have that gospel message watered down, as has happened from Matthew chapter 3 to Acts chapter 19. The gospel message was watered down, and people have a desire to know what God wants. You know, we heard in Lynn's testimony that there was an emptiness inside her, and a lot of us experienced that. There was an emptiness. We didn't know what it was, you know, but we just knew that we had to work out, or not work out, you know, I'm using funny, but, you know, we had to find out what God wanted in our lives. And so people are like that. And so even these small group of people in Ephesus, they were like that. There was an emptiness inside them. They wanted to know what to do. And so they thought, oh, right, this is it. Okay, someone comes along and preaches about John's baptism. Yeah, that must be it. You know, he seemed like a man of God. So yeah, they follow that way faithfully and so forth. But it's wrong. I mean, it's not right, so that makes it wrong. I mean, as a part of it's right, but it's still all wrong. And so it's like giving our heart to the Lord, you know. It seemed right, and there was a moment, oh yeah, I'm doing what God wants. It's great. But then you've got that emptiness. And it's like these people in Ephesus, you know, yeah, okay, but there's still maybe something missing, and that's that Holy Ghost and fire. And so as we live our lives, we have to overcome. And there's often little niggling annoyances that kind of pick away at us to water it down, to make it sound better. And I mean, I'm in the position I am. I get pounded with that every now and again. And it just, we can't do that. It's part of our overcoming is to remember what the salvation message is. Remember that, yes, baptism according to repentance, but then all about receiving the Holy Ghost and with fire, you know, and speaking in tongues. That's our gospel message. And so that's part of our overcoming, is to follow his commandments, as we read in 1 John, to follow his commandments. He so loved us, we then love the brethren, and we have compassion for those that we're going about trying to find them with the Lord's help, you know, that have a desire, have an emptiness inside them and want to know what's true. You know, we're kind of obligated to tell them the whole package. Because think back as well, like I used to go to a few different groups, Christian groups, and I wasn't too impressed because they didn't hit the nail on the head. So even though some people may seem offended by the gospel message, the simple gospel message, and think, oh, that's wrong, there are others that are searching, and that's exactly what they want. It's exactly what they want to latch hold on to. They don't want to hear bleh. They want to hear the truth. And so that's where we need to overcome and stay firm in our belief that it's right, you know. So go to over to chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. So there's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing with Paul, you know, and then we get to a point which is just a chapter and a half further down. Acts chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 24, and it says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul was overcoming. Despite the things that were happening around him, he still stuck fast on what the salvation message was all about and to carry on walking in truth. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So Paul, it's basically his parting comments to these people, as he knows he's going elsewhere and he won't see him anymore. And his parting comments are pretty firm. And he meets up with these people. He says the people that went about preaching the gospel with him. You know, he headed out all over the place. And these amongst those people, those that accompanied him. And these are people of renown, importance in the church of God. It says they're overseers and they've been appointed to feed the church. And the church are those that the people that were purchased with his own blood. That's how important we are. We're purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, be careful. Be careful, people, because there will be grievous wolves that will enter among us and not spare us. You know, those that want to water down the gospel. So we have to overcome that as well. Know for sure what the gospel is and what it means to follow his commandments. But then what he says amongst these people, he says, even among yourselves. That's what he says to them. There'll be some people that will speak perverse things and draw away disciples after them. So amongst these people that were with Paul, I mean, it'll be amazing. Imagine accompanying Paul and seeing incredible miracles and churches pinging up everywhere, all over the place. It's just it would have been an amazing experience to know Paul personally. And even those very people, they'll come up with other ideas. You know, other ideas apart from what God's ideas are. And so Paul here is adjuring them to overcome, you know, to be careful and overcome this and stay, hold firm what's written in the scriptures. And it says, what I like in there, and I'll read another one later, is Paul's got this confidence, you know, that I am innocent of the blood of all men. You know, I've done the work of the Lord and I've overcome. That's where Paul's at the moment. An old fella, and he's done the work of the Lord. I've overcome the problems. You know, I've held fast what the gospel message is. You know, and then that last verse, 32, it says, I'll read it all. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. So everyone, we commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So that we're open to that. We have this inheritance that's among everyone who's been separated throughout history that have been sanctified by God, that the word of his grace can build us up and keep us strong to help us to overcome. Galatians chapter 3. And this is interesting. So again, it's a letter to the church at Galatia, a church that Paul had a very important part in. And so we're up to chapter 3, so there's two chapters, and then we come to the middle of the book, chapter 3, where we read in verse 1, and it just says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So apparently, what I read there is there are people in the church at Galatia that actually saw Jesus Christ crucified. You know, that they it was clearly seen. It was evident before them what Jesus did. And verse 2, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" And we read before how important faith was. We overcome by faith. "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" There we go. "He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Now, I know this passage is referring to the law. That's the old law. But the old law was knowing God through the flesh. And we heard in Lynn's testimony there, like striving in the flesh, trying to follow the law. And so what I want you to read here is when he's referring to by the law, it's by our own works, okay? By how we used to be. And he's saying, look, did you receive the Holy Spirit by your own righteousness? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the good things that you're doing? Did you receive the Holy Spirit then? Did you see amazing miracles when you were doing the best you could through the flesh? Did you see all these wonderful things? And then through the Spirit, that's where the miracles come from. That's where salvation is. That through the Spirit, it's through the hearing of faith. And then verse 4 is important as well. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Right? So these people filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, and then they live their life for a period of time. And it comes to this point when Paul is driven to write a letter to the church at Galatia. And he's saying, look, after all these years, you've suffered many things for the Lord. You know, you've experienced many things. You've stood firm in the face of adversity. You know, to your family, your parents and so forth, the things that they say, you've stood firm and say, no, this is right, this is true. And so what Paul's saying, all the things you've experienced in your life since you received the Holy Spirit, have you suffered those things in vain? You know, no, you haven't suffered them in vain. You know, like, why give it up? Why decide not to overcome? And that's why he's saying twice, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, are you so foolish? It's foolish not to overcome. You know, we've come so far. We've experienced so much. We've seen so much. We speak in tongues. We've seen miracles, healing, deliverance. We've seen the Lord provide. We're in a phenomenal position. Why give up? Why be in a position where over all those years you've managed to overcome and then it comes to this point and you don't? You know, why? That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, oh, foolish Galatians, why have you done this? Who has bewitched you? You know, I wonder if among those people that Paul was warning in Acts chapter 20 were among those, you know, that has decided to water down the gospel and say that you don't need to bother anymore. You know, like, no, what we've suffered and experienced is not in vain. God notices these things. We're laying treasure up in heaven. Excuse me, sorry. It's not in vain. So carry on, carry on. And what you suffer in future or what you're suffering now for the Lord's sake, it will continue not to be in vain. You know, there will be a reward. And so let us overcome. That's what Paul's saying to Galatia. Please overcome. It's important. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I like that. I beseech you, therefore. Plead. You know, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay? So there, like, Paul, again, is writing this to the Romans, that he's asking us not to be conformed, you know, not to follow the ways of the world. The ways of the Spirit are just so different, you know, and let us not be conformed, but be transformed, you know. We have been transformed. We're this spiritual being in the eyes of the Lord, being transformed. And so let us be transformed and renewed, molded, growing in strength. And then what I like there, that second half says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, we're proof. We're proof. We are the things that happen in our life. We are proof that God is good, God is acceptable, and God is perfect. You know, and his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. It's good for us, and through that amazing grace. And for us not to think that, we'll be right. You know, like we don't think highly of ourselves. It's through humility. Man, why did the Lord choose us? Why? Why did the Lord choose me? Why? You know, but it was his plan. He doesn't need to provide an excuse why he chose everyone. It was part of his plan. We're vessels to be used by God. And he desired, we read in the scriptures, he desired to see his power perpetuated here on earth. That's why he chose us. You know, we see the failings in our own flesh. We see how we fall so far short. You know, the things we think are right, the things we feel are right, and then when they're proven wrong, you think, oh no, I messed up. Don't. But the Lord has chosen us. So we realize how little we are before the living God. But he's chosen us for a reason. So we don't think highly of ourselves, but we're sober. It's a sobering thought. Wow. God's chosen us. He's chosen us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to know the secret things of God. He's revealed the secret things. Another great scripture in Deuteronomy, like, the secret things belong to God, but when he reveals them, they then belong to us. Praise the Lord, he has decided to reveal the secret things to us. And we're in that position. And so we're so humble as a result of that, knowing that we are transformed and that we are different. People don't like being different. We're human beings. We're gregarious. We like to be part of a flock. You know, it's hard to be different. But God's called us to be separate and to be different. And so we can have a strength and confidence knowing that we're following the Bible. So yes, we're different, but we're following this. Okay? And he's proving himself. And so that's part of the overcoming as well. Being able to be different amongst so many and having that confidence that God's there. Matthew 24. And just a couple of verses here. Jesus' own words. Matthew 24 and verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So simply written. And we see that today. The love of many shall wax cold. We see that when we go about witnessing to people and they're just closed off. It's funny. It's like, you know, going about just putting leaflets in a letterbox. And you see sometimes people are immediately offended by it. And that's where people are now. I mean, we can kind of understand it because we live in this world. We understand the logic of people in the world. But it's like they are immediately offended that someone would want to put a pamphlet in their letterbox about God. And I remember once I was confronted by this lady who was annoyed. And I said, well, why don't you just throw it in the bin? Like, it's funny. Like, it's a piece of paper with writing on it. Like, if you're that offended, like, then do that. Like, why be offended? I mean, my own dad as well. He's got a sign on his door that he doesn't want door knockers. And I said to Dad, well, why don't you just tell him to go away? You know, like, why be offended? Like, just, it's a funny thing. Like, people, the love of many has waxed cold where there's an immediate reaction. Offended, don't want it. Instead of, you know, talking to a person and, you know, as a human being and getting to know them and so forth. It's like they're scared or something. But That's what it is like today. The love of many shall wax cold. And it explains there, because iniquity, or as it says in my Bible, lawlessness shall abound. You know, those that don't want to follow the law of God and the commandments of God, it abounds. And so the love of many shall wax cold. So we're in this world that's like that. So let us not be drawn. We need to overcome that as well. We need to overcome that aspect of the world we're living in, because the great promise from Jesus Christ is if we endure or overcome, the same shall be saved. Okay, and we want to be saved. We want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. That's where we belong. That's our home. You know, we're just dilly-dallying about here for a moment, you know, like we belong in heaven. So we want to be amongst those that endure to the end, and then we're saved. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yeah, this is the bit I referred to earlier. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. So that's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And you could add there, I have overcome. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And we love his appearing. We can't wait. We're hanging out for it. We want to see Jesus coming back, you know. And this is the position. I love how Paul has written this. Toward the end of his life, he's like, I've fought a good fight. I've overcome all those things. You know, I'm confident that I've been walking in spirit and in truth. I've held fast the doctrine. Whenever people asked him of the hope that was in him, he told them the full salvation message. He didn't water it down. He didn't add anything to it. You know, that's where Paul was. I've fought a good fight. I've overcome it all. And as a result of that, henceforth, there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. That's not only for him, but also for everybody else who overcomes. Okay, last scripture, Revelation chapter 2. So this passage, I'll read seven single verses. Chapters 2 and 3, they go through the seven churches, and we know by historical events that they actually, it's actually a breakdown of history. We believe we're in the age of the Laodiceans, which is the seventh church. But we'll just get read single verses. So with the church at Ephesus, we'll read in verse 7, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, down to the church at Smyrna in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now to the church at Pergamos in verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And to the church at Thyatira, down in verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The church at Sardis in chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. To the church at Philadelphia in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. And to the church at Laodicea in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So it's interesting there. Every church. So when I first looked this up, I wasn't sure if every church had a verse about overcoming, but every single one, every single church, God or Jesus is saying to them, overcome. And every one of them is slightly different, a slightly different blessing that comes to those that overcome. You know, those that are that will sit in the throne. You know, the name will be written. They'll have they'll eat of the manna that comes from heaven. All these wonderful things, seven snippets of what's given to those that overcome. So let us overcome. You know, that's what Jesus is saying. He's repeated it seven times. You know, when we read in the Bible, if Jesus repeats something two or three times, we our ears kind of prick up and think, whoa, that's important. Well, how important is this? He's repeated it seven times. Let us overcome. But what's wonderful, each time he's repeated it, there's this awesome promise that comes with it. And that's what we're part of. We're this part of this awesome promise. The Lord's just asking us to endure and to overcome. Okay, thank you.